Well, I want to ask you a question to see if you know who the person I'm about to put on the screen is. So if you know it, just shout it out at any of our campuses or online, type it in there if you think you know who this person is. So here it is. And it's silence. Shout it out if you think you know it at our campuses, type it in the chat. This guy, Arthur Schlesinger, that's not who this is, but Arthur Schlesinger wrote and put down the 10 most influential people of the previous millennium. So that's from 1000 AD all the way to 1999, listed this guy as one of the top 10 most influential people who's ever lived in that millennium. This guy's name is William Harvey. Does that ring a bell for anyone? And it's silence again, no. William Harvey, he was a medical doctor in the early 1600s. Prior to his discovery, people believed that food was converted into blood by the liver. And then it was sent to the heart, heated up, and then shot out to our body. It wasn't until Harvey's discovery that all of that changed. Harvey is credited with being the first person to discover that the circulatory systems begin and end with the heart. Everything that we understand, that doctors understand about fighting heart disease and cardiovascular health today can be traced back to William Harvey. I'd say that's a pretty important thing, pretty influential guy. And he said, everything begins and ends with the heart. So I want to ask you another question, but let me set it up first. Last February and March, COVID hit, and we all reacted. We reacted in different ways. We responded. We panicked, some of us. We changed some of our habits. Masks are a normal thing now. Some of us lost jobs. Some suffered with major health issues, and some are still suffering with major health issues. Some of us lost loved ones and are still losing loved ones. Everyone had or has an opinion, and many are vocal about it. Attacks, accusations, blame, and hateful words have been expressed, some probably towards you. And then in the midst of COVID, when we still were really trying to figure things out and navigate this, a brokenness in our country began to reveal itself. And people started protesting. And everyone had opinions about that. Some turned very ugly, some opinions. Some turned towards belittlement, which led to even more separation. Attacks, accusations, blame, and hateful words have been expressed, some probably towards you. And then the elections. People chose sides. Social media caused us to see the ugliness of things. You also probably chose a side based off of your principles and what you believe in. But unlike any other election season, we saw the worst in people. Attacks, accusations, blame, and hateful words have been expressed, some probably towards you. And then just recently, the inauguration happened. We all know what happened a couple of weeks prior to the inauguration. That led to emotions that for many were running high. People shared opinions more vocally than in the history of our politics, in our history. Attacks, accusations, blame, and hateful words were expressed. A lot of them, some of them, probably towards you. You were on that side of it. In fact, all you have to do is look at the Time magazine year in review to just begin to remember all that has happened. We remembered, I kind of even forgot, yeah, Kobe died That started last year. We lost the justice. In this magazine, it goes through everything that happened. And on top of all this, you know what happened? Your life still happened. Job issues, family issues, relationship issues, things you routinely did that were so important to you, those routines had to be canceled. Traditions in your family were canceled. Christmas looked different. That vacation that you were looking forward to and maybe your kids were looking forward to, it probably got canceled. Weddings were different. Funerals were smaller. Addictions revealed themselves in brand new ways. Issues in marriages came to the surface that were never there before. I don't think I can overemphasize just how much has happened. And church, just those involved with Fairhaven, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? We've been through a lot. And if you are like most people, the pressure is heavy. There's a lot to carry right now. And with all of that in mind, and probably so much more that I didn't even say, here's the question I want to ask you. Here it is. How's your heart? How's your heart? With everything that has happened, all of life, all the national stuff that's happened, have you taken a moment to ask yourself this question? How's my heart? Is your heart tired? I know mine has been pretty tired. Is your heart hurt? Is your heart wounded? If that's the case, then we have to address this. Because if we don't fix this, if we don't address this, otherwise we go down a spiral that just gets out of control, and it's hurt after hurt after hurt. And you've heard the saying that hurt people hurt people. And it's a spiral that never ends, and nothing gets repaired and nothing gets fixed. So let me ask you the question again. How's your heart? You've been through a lot. William Harvey was referring to our physical heart. But in our spiritual life, doesn't everything also begin and end with the heart? We are in a series called New Beginning, and it's been a great series. Pastor David has led us through it, and it's all through the book of Proverbs, and it's teaching us wisdom. And wisdom is what we all need a whole lot of right now. Wisdom, we could use it. We get to chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs, and Solomon is writing to his son, as he does through most of Proverbs. And he's writing something very powerful to him that we get to look in on. And you can just imagine King Solomon writing this to his son. Solomon, who's lived a full life and has done a lot and made a lot of mistakes, but still was one of the wisest persons to ever live, is writing to his son, pouring his heart out to his son. And we get to chapter 4, verse 23 through 27. And here's what he says. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Get it far away from you as possible. Put that type of talk away from you. He says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep looking straight. Don't look off to the left, to the right. Look straight. Keep your eyes forward. Ponder. Ponder. So think about, put some effort into thinking about the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I want to look at verse 23 again, that first verse that mentions the heart. And we read that in the ESV version, the English Standard Version. And here's what that said. Keep your heart with all vigilance. With all vigilance. Everything you've got, keep your heart. For from it flow the springs of life. But I also want to show you how a couple other versions translate this. The NLT puts it this way. Guard your heart above all else. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Guard your heart. Just guard it. for it determines the course of your life. And then the NIV puts it this way: above all else, above everything else in life, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So we must guard our heart, because everything in our spiritual life begins and ends with the heart. And why is the heart so important? Let's talk about this for a moment. The word heart in Scripture is used as the most comprehensive term for the authentic you. It's the term that's used for the real you, that inside you. It's the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It's been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. It's the comprehensive term for a person as a whole, for his feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will. It is the real you. One person even said it this way: the heart, it is the place to which God turns, to your heart. And everything in our life flows from it. So the writer of Proverbs tells us, you better guard it. You really need to guard your heart. And he's telling his son, I've lived a long life, son. What I can tell you is to guard your heart above all else. Make it your primary priority to guard your heart. The word guard here means to protect, to maintain, to take care of, to look after diligently. I want you to put this picture in your mind. It is a picture of a guard standing watch to protect something very valuable. No days off, no abandoning post, no sleeping on the job. Guard it. Guard your heart. And I'm going to give you the big idea for today's message right up front here. So you'll see it in just a moment on the screen. And if you get nothing else that I say today, here's what we need to learn. Here it is. To live a wise life that will best glorify God, we must guard our hearts. If you're a Christ follower and you're listening or you're watching me right now, it is our ultimate duty to bring glory to God. That is why we live. That is our purpose. And if we are going to bring him the most glory, then we must guard our hearts. We only guard things that are important to us. You lock your house when you leave because you have important things in there. You have valuables. You have things you are trying to protect. Maybe expensive things. You have valuables, maybe in a safe that you lock. Places of importance will place a guard out front, or many guards, to protect what's inside, to keep people from breaking in, from destroying it, from stealing it, to be on the lookout, to protect from dangers. We don't, however, waste time to protect things that don't matter. At my house, the trash gets taken out Friday morning. It's picked up from the road on Friday mornings. And I have four kids, so there's a lot of trash every single week. And my oldest son, Bradley, he is the trash person in our house. He's on trash duty. So he takes it out usually on Thursday nights very late, because we often have to remind him, hey, go take out the trash. And he does on Thursday nights and does a great job with it, takes it out to the road. But you know what's never once happened? I've never said, hey, Bradley, I want you to stand out there and guard that trash tonight. I'm afraid something might happen to it. I want you to protect it. He asked me when I was telling this to refer to him as the guardian of the trash for some reason. So if you see him, say something like that to him. But I've never asked him to stand out there and protect it. I've never thought twice about being afraid somebody's gonna take my trash. I never thought about guarding my trash. It never happened, because we don't guard things that are not valuable or important, or not important to us. But here's my fear for so many of us. You are treating your heart like garbage. My fear is that maybe you're treating it like it's not valuable, Like it's not something of utmost importance that should be our primary priority to guard. Some people will let their desires run so rampant that they will financially, emotionally, spiritually hurt themselves and their entire family because they failed to protect, to guard their heart. There are people listening to me right now who you can attest to this because you remember that time that you didn't guard your heart. You let your guard down and maybe even gave your heart to somebody who didn't cherish it, who didn't protect it, who didn't help you guard it. You may remember that time that you let your desire come before what you knew to be best for you and your family, and it hurt. That time you lied and it hurt so many people, and what happened was you let your guard down. You weren't protecting the heart. That time maybe spent so addicted looking at vulgar things that just chipped away at your heart over time. And what you did was let your guard down. That time you thought nobody would know. It's just one time. You know what happened? You abandoned post. You weren't guarding your heart. And I bet all of us could attest to times in our life where this has happened, where we were not guarding our heart and it damaged us. It hurt, it wounded us. So then, we have to learn to become guards. We have to guard our heart. Here's the good news though. The good news is that there is such amazing hope to do this. There's a roadmap in scripture that very clearly shows us how to guard our heart, and it's found in the passages we just read. So I want to look at verse 24, and here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 4, 24, verse we just read, said this: "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." Put it away from you. Put it far from you. And it's very simple, but you know the first way we guard our heart? It's very simple. It's not like you're going to have a big aha moment here. I'm sorry to let you down. But the very first way we guard our heart is to be careful what you say. It's right there in the text. Be careful what you say. And it seems like such a basic idea. But in 2021, we all need to be reminded of this. In our world, in our society, in our nation, we need to be reminded, be careful what you say. Here's just a few more verses from scripture that refer to our words. Some of these will be familiar to you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Another verse, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Another one, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Can you relate to that? If I just wouldn't have talked, if I just wouldn't have said that thing, I wouldn't be in trouble. And the Bible tells us, yeah, that's right there. Don't do it. Another one, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And last one, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Verse after verse in scripture reminds us of this, to watch your words, be careful what you say. And I need to remind myself of this often because unfortunately, and maybe some of you can relate, I'm a very sarcastic person. I communicate through sarcasm sometimes and I can easily cut people down with my words. I have to guard my heart and be careful what I say. On the other hand, words can be so refreshing, can't they? The right word at the right time can energize you and give you life again. My wife was recently in Oklahoma at the bedside of her grandmother as her grandmother was passing away, holding her hand. And my wife was holding her granny's hand, saying over and over again to her, I love you, Granny. I love you, Granny. I love you, Granny. And on video, my wife was able to capture, just hours before her granny passed away, was able to capture her granny opening her eyes, looking at her, and saying, "I love you too," on video. Those words are going to mean so much to my wife for years, to capture those words. They'll forever mean the world to her. Great speeches throughout time have used words to redirect nations. Great speeches have been used to inspire people to higher causes, all through words. Words are powerful. And yet, if we aren't careful, we can say the most hurtful things to those we love most. It's easiest to say the worst things to those close to us. You've probably said them, you've probably heard them. And I was thinking, why is it that we can be so short and so hurtful with our words to our kids, to our parents, to our spouses, when they are the ones who need to hear refreshing words from us the most? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we aren't guarding our hearts. We're not protecting it. We're abandoning post. We're not putting the effort into guarding our hearts. So the first thing we have to do to guard our heart is to be careful of what you say. But the second thing is this. We need to examine our focus. So number two, examine your focus. The following verses refer to this. Verse 25 says, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." So we need to do some examining of where we're focused and what we're looking on. A lot of life is consumed through the eyes. Our eyes directly affect our heart. And this verse is telling us, do not get distracted by looking to the left or looking to the right, but look forward. Don't let your eyes wander. It's telling us, don't have a wandering eye. Don't let your eyes wander. Here's another short sampling of what verses in the Bible have to say about our eyes. "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." It was a prayer from David. "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." Another verse says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness." One last verse says this, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." You see, guarding our heart happens by examining what our eyes are consuming. Think about what you're looking at. Think about what you're seeing every day. It's not worth it to get distracted by something that looks so appealing, but the end thereof is death and destruction. It's not worth it. If I could just have this, or if I could just have her, if I could just have him, then life would be better. If I could just have the house like they have. And then before we know it, we've abandoned post. We let our eyes influence our heart, and we're not protecting our eyes anymore. When we consume nothing but junk shows, when we consume nothing but the worst of Netflix, the worst of the news, the worst of social media, is it any surprise that our heart would be so hurt? Is it any surprise that our heart would be damaged or wounded when all we've let in through our eyes, or mostly what we've let in through our eyes, is garbage? There's so much beauty in this world to view, to witness, to see. There's so much good to witness within our own families, within our own friendships. There's a Bible that we get to read and meditate upon and read it with our eyes and let it consume our heart. Why do we always tend to look for the bad? Mr. Rogers had this famous line whenever he was talking to kids about something bad that happened. He would tell them to look for the helpers. Look for the ones running in to help. Look for the good. Yes, there's bad, but put effort into looking for the good. And as adults, as Christ followers, we should look for the good, for the worthy things, for the helpful things. We must examine our focus. So be careful of what you say. This is how we guard our heart. Be careful of what you say. Examine your focus. And number three, prioritize your activities. Prioritize them. Some things have to be more important than other things. And then following verses refer to this in verse 26 and 27. It says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So ponder, think about it. Think about the path of your feet, the activities of your feet. Where is it taking you? This idea is to put some purposeful thought into the activities of your life. Make sure you know what path you're on. Think about, if I stay on this path, where will I end up? Ponder that. Think about that. Prioritize things that will keep you on the right path. Here's a couple other things the Bible has to say about our path. You've probably heard some of these. One says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Another one says, you gave a wide place for my steps under me and my feet did not slip. Another one, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And lastly, you make known to me the path of life. We must prioritize some things in our life. I think with all that has happened, and even the year in review that we did at the beginning, plus so much more that has happened in your life, perhaps some of us have let our feet wander into things that aren't the right path for us. You know why it happens? Because we let our guard down. We were not guarding our heart above all else. We're not making guarding our heart our primary priority. I can relate to some of these, and maybe you can too. Have you noticed yourself flying off the edge more? Have you noticed yourself, you're shorter with people now than you used to be? Maybe you're not as gracious as you once were. Have you found yourself so quickly wanting to give a harsh response to things you read online? If that's the case, I mean, here's what I know. Here's what I know. And I hope you get this. This meant a lot to me when I read this. This isn't original with me. I read this somewhere. Circumstances are just trigger points for what's already in your heart. The circumstances that happen in your life, it's going to reveal what's in your heart. So circumstances that happen, the good, the bad, the things that happen around you, the things you don't like, the things you wish you could control, the things that you wish were different, they're just trigger points for what's already in your heart. Because here's what I know. I know the real you, the real us, it's going to be revealed. And I know that because there's another verse in Proverbs that says this. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. You could go into water and you'll see your reflection on that water and it reveals, it reflects your face. But your heart is the true reflection of you. Our hearts are the real us. The real you, the real me, is what's inside us. The pretend you, the church you, the act like we have it all together as we come into church you, it's not going to last. Your heart is the true reflection of who you are. So we have to guard it. Above all else, guard your heart. It's been a crazy several months. Maybe it'll be a crazy more months. I don't know. But what I know is we must ask ourselves, how's my heart? It could so easily have been wounded or have been hurt. And if you're anything like me, I just try to push through. I just want to pastor. I just want to get to the Beaver Creek launch. I just want to do all of this stuff. And maybe I haven't stopped to think, how's my heart through all this? So how do we guard our heart? How do we guard it above all else as our primary priority? Number one, be careful what you say. Number two, examine your focus. And number three, prioritize your activities. Hurricane Sandy, some of you I'm sure are familiar with, Hurricane Sandy hit the Washington, D.C. area in 2012 as a superstorm. Hurricane Sandy was expected to kill more people and cause more damage than any hurricane since Hurricane Katrina in 2005. When practically every government employee in Washington was retreating the DC area to avoid the effects of Hurricane Sandy, a small group of soldiers refused to leave. And I don't know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C. and have been able to see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but there it is. When everybody else in the area, in the community, was even commanded, some of them, to leave town because this after effects of this hurricane were coming, the soldiers didn't. Tomb Guard Sentinels, the elite soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment, chose to stay on guard. They didn't abandon posts. Guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier had been guarded for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 1937, without ever having someone abandon post. If you've been there, it's a phenomenal thing to see the changing of the guards. 21 steps in 21 seconds, and they turn around. 21 steps in 21 seconds, and then some another soldier comes out and inspects, and they switch and change duties, and it's a phenomenal thing to see. But during Hurricane Sandy, the cemetery was closed by order of the federal government. There would be no visitors, there would be no crowds, no onlookers to see the changing of the guards. The tomb sentinels would still guard the tomb. They were exposed to the elements, they had their M14 rifles, the unknown soldier that's laying there would not be left alone. It was guarded. One man by the name of Shane Vincent was on guard for 23 straight hours, guarding something very valuable. And church, when it comes to our hearts, we are told to guard it above all else as our primary duty. And when the hurricanes of life surround us, when things get crazy, don't abandon post. Guard your heart. Don't let yourself be drawn down to levels that you never thought you would be. Guard your heart. I find it amazing that we have a Savior who died for us to capture our hearts. Isn't that worth protecting? Isn't that worth guarding? If we're going to give God the utmost glory that we can, then we must guard our hearts. So how's your heart? I think it would be appropriate if we would just close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. And if you're watching online at our campuses, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And let's take a moment to think about this. Ask yourself, how's my heart? You've been through a lot. You've lost loved ones. You've dealt with sicknesses, you've had job issues, relationship issues have come to surface. Have you paused for a moment to think about your heart? Are you still guarding it? Has something caused you to abandon post? Let's take 1 minute and reflect on our hearts and ask yourself, how's my heart? Heavenly Father, you know so much has happened. You've seen everything that we've experienced. You've seen every valley we've walked through. You've been there with us. God, sometimes for us, it can feel very overwhelming. So I pray that today we'll reflect on our hearts. Is my heart wounded? Is my heart hurt? God, I pray that you would give us the renewed energy and the renewed desire to guard our hearts, to look for good things, to say words of encouragement, to consider what we're doing, to consider the path we're on. Is it the right path for us? God, I thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross for us so that you could capture our hearts. God, so help us to guard it. Help us not to be drawn down to levels that we've never been at before. Help us to protect and guard our hearts and to not abandon post. And it's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.